First Thessalonians chapter 1. Lord, I pray, help us now. Just tune us into your spirit. I pray that you would help us to hear your rhema. Lord, feed us today what we need to strengthen our spirit, to draw us to yourself, to draw us to your will, and then equip us and use us to go and, Lord, be vessels fit for your use to extend your kingdom and your will to others. Have your way, Lord. I pray that you, let's take a moment right now. If that's in your heart, would you just tell him, Lord, speak to me. Help me to focus on you. I want to hear your spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, beginning in verse 5, says, for our gospel, or our good news, did not come to you in word only, but also in power. How did the good news come in power? He goes on, he says this, it came to you in power and in the Holy Spirit. He's the power source. And today is Pentecost Sunday. Thank God for his spirit. I thank God for his word, but we wouldn't have the power to live it out if we didn't have God help us by his spirit. So thank God for his Holy Spirit. So the word went out in power by God's spirit. And he says, and in much assurance, as you know what kind of men we were among you for your sake. Verse 6, and you have become followers of us and of the Lord. So these believers, they followed the Lord and they followed godly examples who were following Jesus. Then it says this, it says, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Spirit. They were suffering tribulation and persecution because they became followers of Jesus. But he said, what does that little chorus say? This joy that I have, the world didn't give it to me. The world didn't give it, and the world can't what? The world can't take it away. So we can go through some times, but we can still have a joy on the inside with the Lord. He is our ultimate source of joy. And then he goes on, he says this in verse 7, so that you became examples. So see the progression, follow Jesus, follow godly examples, and now you become an example. So he says, so that you became examples to all in Macedonia and Achaia who believe, verse 8, for from you the word of the Lord has sounded forth, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith toward God has gone out, so that we don't need to say anything. So they followed Jesus, they followed godly examples, and then they became examples for others to follow. That word example can mean like if you're something visual that you're copying, like you're drawing something and here's, you know, whatever it is and you make a copy. But it also means you're following or you're emulating a pattern of behavior. And that's how it's used here. These brothers and sisters had a lifestyle that we could follow. And as we do that, we become examples for others to follow. And then one last one right now, 1 Timothy chapter 4. Just turn over two books, please. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and one verse 12. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 12. And while you're turning, last week I invited you to join me in kind of focusing on a scripture, Ephesians 5, 2. I've worked on 1 and 2, where it just simply says, therefore be imitators of God as dear children and walk in love, as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. This week, I want to invite you to join me in, if you're not already have a scripture you're renewing your mind with or meditating on, this verse 12, 1 Timothy 4, 12. And it simply says this, let no one despise your youth. That word despise is not like how we would typically might think of it. It means to look down on. Don't let anyone look down on your youth, but be an example. Be an example. Would you please say that with me? Be an example to the believers, how? In our words, in our conduct, how we live our lives. Be an example in love. Be an example in faith or in spirit, in faith and in purity. So this morning, here is the title of the message just based on those scriptures. Follow Jesus and be an example. Follow Jesus and be an example. And just maybe if you're writing that down, God's word reveals his wisdom and his truth to us. Thank God he does. But we also thank God, again, for His Holy Spirit, because we need Him to empower us to live by His truth and His wisdom that He has revealed to us. And I hope I can encourage someone this morning with this. Because maybe in your mind, you can think, man, I haven't always been a good example in my words. I haven't always been an example in my, you know, purity or whatever it is. So I wanted to just say this. Please don't raise your hand or give any outward indication at all. But if maybe you can think, yeah, that's me. I haven't always been the best example in the world. Well, just think about this now. Did you learn from it? If you learn from it and you gain wisdom, you grew. So maybe we can at least decide to do this today by God's grace. We can simply say, you know, as we live by the truths of God's word, we will be a good, growing example for others to follow. Not a perfect example, but a godly and growing example. I can grow. Can't be perfect, but I can be going in the right direction. I can have a close walk with Jesus so that I'm growing in His likeness, growing closer to Him, growing more like Him so that He can use me more effectively, being more fruitful for Him. Today, I'm just gonna kind of go over the topics of day 19 in the devotional, where it's really a word to parents. But I just wanna say that this following Jesus and being an example is not just for parents, because those scriptures I read, none of them were for parents. It was for godly believers in the church. And He wrote to Timothy and He said, I know you're a young man, you're maybe in your late 20s, early 30s, but don't let anyone of the older saints look down on you because you're such a young man. But you go ahead and be example to the older people. So we're not limited by age of being an example. How many know a child can be a good example? So just to follow Jesus and be an example. Would you please say that with me? Follow Jesus and be an example. Now I'd like to invite you to turn back to the fifth book of your Bible, Deuteronomy chapter 6. And if you hold your spot there, I'll give you a couple of verses along the way if you want to write them down. But Deuteronomy chapter 6, if you hold your spot. And just maybe while you're turning, I just want to encourage all of us here this morning to just pursue that close walk with the Lord. I wrote this little devotional called Walk in Newness of Life. And I hope that's what God will use it to do. That's my prayer. It's been my prayer for a long time. It's still my prayer. Lord, may You use this to draw people to Yourself and into that close walk with You. That walk in newness of life that we can have and we can enjoy. Don't you know the Lord wants us to enjoy Him and enjoy being in close fellowship with Him, enjoy walking with Him? That's a great testimony to others. I don't want to go through life like I'm just in misery to be a Christian. I want to go through life knowing I'll go through my hard times and losses and battles and valleys and storms and misunderstandings, but He is my source, and I thank God for the joy that He gives me, and when I'm close to Him, I have peace. And I thank God for that. So to stay in close fellowship with Him, because it's in close fellowship with Him that we live out all of those practical aspects of how can I have victory over sin? How can I keep going when times are tough? How can I resolve conflict to the glory of God? It all flows out of a close relationship with Him. So that's, just want to encourage you with that. And not only about us, but that God could use us to others. What did Jesus say right before He ascended back into heaven? All authority is given to Me in heaven and earth. Now you go, therefore, and make what? Make disciples, make more followers, baptize them, teach them all I've taught you. And remember, I'm gonna be with you in a very special way. I'm gonna help you do what I've called you to do. And then finally, if you just wanna write this verse down, it's 1 Peter 3:15, because I hope this devotional will kind of equip you to be able to give a response to those who might ask, as this scripture says in 1 Peter 3:15, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. The Amplified Bible says, give Him first place in your lives. Make the Lord first place in your heart and lives and always be ready. Would you say that with me? Always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that's in you with meekness and fear. So do you believe there's a God? If you do, why? And can you share it with someone? Why would someone even ask us about a hope that we have other than they see something different in us? Follow Jesus and be an example, all right? Let me give you two scriptures if you want to write them down. Psalms 127:3, because following Jesus and being an example is part of God's plan for parenting. And the New Living Translation words it like this: children are a gift from the Lord. They are a reward from him. Children are a blessing. They're a gift and a reward, whether they're ours or not. We can be a blessing to children who aren't our biological children. And he says this, again, a gift from the Lord and a reward from him. And God designed the family so that moms and dads would have love and respect for one another. And in that place of commitment, children would have a sense of peace and security so that they could grow up in an environment that promotes learning and growth. That's God's design. I know we don't live in the ideal, and sometimes thank God for single parents who are trying to do the job of two, or maybe grandparents and others who are filling in, but God, that's where it's important. Maybe we can have like a church family where if I was a single dad, that maybe I could have still godly young ladies, godly moms in the church who could be still a godly influence to our daughter, for example, if I have one. And I thank God for Kim, and I'm not in that situation. But someone said, values are not just taught, they are, but values are caught. How many know what I mean? Because sometimes, you know, we don't want to come across like, well, don't do as I do as I say do. So values are caught, and that doesn't have to be parent and child, but it can be, because you can get into some influence and catch some morals and values you don't want them to catch. So again, follow Jesus and be an example. And then one last scripture before I read Deuteronomy. Ephesians 6:4 says this. This is from the Christian Standard Bible. Fathers, don't stir up anger in your children by bringing them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Training prepares us for future needs. Training prepares us to be better. I remember Coach Tony Dungy when he first became an assistant coach for the Pittsburgh Steelers under Chuck Knoll. He said, what is my job? And the head coach said, your job is to make your players play better. That's what training does. And so God, we're in training, and we want to train our sons and daughters to be successful in life in following the Lord. So bring them up in the nurture, the training, and admonition to the Lord. And I just want to share four ways this morning of how God is a father to us. And you think about how you can apply it in your situation, whether you're a parent or not. There are truths here that we can apply in our lives. And I want to just share this real quick about something I wrote about how we as parents can frustrate our children, because the scripture says not to do that. But this is, I believe it's on page 60, if you have the devotional, it just simply says this. We can stir up anger in our sons and daughters by being harsh with them, by placing unrealistic demands on them, or comparing them to others in an unkind way. So we don't want to turn our children against us. We want to kind of win them over, not just to us, but to the Lord and his will. If you're there in Deuteronomy, I'll share these four with you real quick. Here's the first one, if you want to write it down. Lead by example. We've already been talking about this some. Lead by example, and I'll read the verses to you in just a moment. Deuteronomy 6, verses 5 and 6, and then we'll look at 20 and 21. But lead by example. And so let me go ahead and just read that. This is what the scripture says, Deuteronomy 6, verse 5. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. Now, can we lead by example to others who aren't our children? Well, of course. That's why I just shared those scriptures that we opened up with in the New Testament. Neither one of those two were a parent and child. But certainly as parents or anyone that we can potentially influence, we want to lead by example. That's why I said I want to encourage you today, not a perfect example, but a growing example. And we can do that if we just simply follow Jesus and do our part to grow and stay close to him. So I want to ask you this morning, because this says, you love the Lord and let this word be in your heart. But the New Testament tells us we love him because he first what? because he first loved us. So maybe we can just ask ourselves today, do I really believe God's word? And am I living in the awareness of God's unconditional love for me? Because that makes a difference in how we live. If I question God's love, then I'm not gonna love him back as I should, because I give my love based on receiving his love. It's knowing that I could never earn it, never deserve it, but he loved me so much that he gave his own son, who did no wrong, who suffered and died on the cross to pay for every sin that I've ever committed or ever will commit, and that's for every one of us. Please think about that a second. There's not a sin you will ever commit or you have committed that Jesus didn't suffer and die on the cross to pay for. You are dearly loved. And thank God we are. And he just wants us, he's a father, he wants us to love him back. Didn't he lead by example? Going before us and then Jesus saying, following me. So that's, he's not asking anything of us that he has not led the way in. So he says, let this word get in your heart, and then I want you to love me. I want you to live by my word. And then if you drop down to verse 20, the Bible says this, when your son asks you in time to come. So as we live, if whether it's son, daughter, coworker, neighbor, school, you know, classmate, whatever the case may be, if they see something in us and they ask, or just the topic comes up, you see, what we're passionate about can have an influence on others. Have you ever noticed that? What we are passionate about. It could be someone may be a Christian, fine Christian man, but maybe he's passionate about racing. Maybe he's passionate about fishing. Maybe he's, whatever it might be. And that can be an influence on others. Maybe a child growing up like same team, for example, same, they'll be into racing or whatever it may be. So there can be that influence about what really we're passionate about. So he says, when your son asks you in time to come, saying, what is the meaning of these testimonies, statutes, and judgments with the Lord our God has commanded you? Why can't we do like them over here? And they ask, then you shall say to them, your son in verse 21, or your daughter, we were slaves of Pharaoh in Egypt, and the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. When the Lord opens that door, share your testimony. Tell whether it's a family member or not, tell them why you believe in Jesus and why you follow him. So that ultimately they can want to follow Jesus as well, all right? So lead by example. Number two, instruct them with God's word. So lead by example and then instruct them with God's word. Now this word, I'll read you the verse here in just a moment. We don't instruct others necessarily, especially like friends or peers, in a way we may instruct our sons and daughters, but we can still share God's word with anyone who's open. So that's how we can apply it to our lives, regardless of what, like we're in a situation, we have a daughter, but she's not living at home. It's not like I'm kind of instructing her in our home setting, but I can share God's word with others if they're open. And Lord opens that door, I wanna be able to share God's word with them. So the Bible says this in Deuteronomy 6:7. It says, you shall teach them diligently. You get God's word in your heart, lead by example, and then you shall teach them diligently to your children. Let me pause there just a moment. The words teach and diligently translate one Hebrew word that is a verb that literally means to sharpen. So the idea is you impress these truths in your sons and daughters and get my word in them so that my word gets in their heart and they desire my word for themselves and they desire me and my will. That's the idea. And sometimes we have to do that by repetition. How many know repetition reaps rewards? How many of you know you can't tell a child something one time and then think that's it? How many of you wives know you can't tell your husband something one time and think? Repetition reaps rewards. And in us too, because Peter said, I know you know this, but I want to stir you up by way of remembrance. I want to prompt you into action by just reminding you of something you already know. So to live it out, so lead by example and then instruct them. And so he goes on in that same verse and he says, talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down and when you rise up. It's not like, okay, sit down, my child, and I'm going to lecture you. Now, there are times we may talk in that way, but it's more a lifestyle than a lecture. And then as we are involved with them and involved in their lives, God will open the door. I really believe that. We'll have opportunities to share God's truths with them. I call them teachable moments. I'm not the only one. People, they're known as teachable moments. And when God opens that door, we want to be able to share God's truth with them. And then he says in verse 8 and 9, and this is a good reminder for all of us, you shall bind them as a sign on your hand, shall be as frontless between your eyes. Write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Don't we all have a tendency to forget? So let's give ourselves reminders. I've got to be in God's word every day. I've got to meditate on a truth. I've got to get something in my heart and mind. And I believe, especially with young people, there are certain truths that need to be repeated regularly. The Bible says this, and the references are in the devotion. I won't take time right now to give you all the scriptures, but the Bible says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Don't we want our sons and daughters to be wise? The fear of the Lord simply means a proper reverence and awe of God, that we don't play around with him, that we take him serious, that we would disintegrate in his presence in these mortal bodies if we were to be put in that place. That's why we've got to have different bodies to be in his presence. And so wisdom is to see life and to live it from God's point of view and God's perspective. So we've got to have that proper reverence for the Lord. How about this one? The Bible says in a couple places that those who walk with wise people will be wise, but a companion of fools will be destroyed. Proverbs, 1 Corinthians 15. Be not deceived. Evil companions corrupt good manners. See what I'm talking about? Influence and example. Follow Jesus and be an example. So our children need to know how to say no to evil influence and how to choose some godly friends. Can I get a witness? Whether that's children, grandchildren, whatever the case may be. So lead by example, instruct them with God's word, and then let me give you this third one. In fact, I got to go back to that. Other areas are coming into my mind here. Children need to be wise with money, to exercise a little bit of self-control and patience and learn how to maybe save for something and to not get head over heels in debt. That God doesn't want us, in the scriptures, that's why the year of Jubilee was given. God doesn't want us to just be in generations of debt. He wants us to be able to pay that down and be able to live free from that. Now, if you're in debt, you're not condemned. Just pay. Make your payments and have a goal to at least get it worked down or get it behind you. How about, don't we learn from our parents how to handle conflict? We can, one parent was more, they kind of just, if he really got mad, everybody knew it. Or maybe one parent was more the opposite extreme. They just didn't talk. They didn't. And don't we? And we can model their behavior. So that's why I said it's a growing example. None of us have arrived. But if we're growing, that's encouraging to me. I can learn from, I can relate to falling short. Show me how to grow from it. I call it falling forward, to learn how to fall forward. So lead by example. Instruct them with God's word. And then this one does really specifically apply to moms and dads. Lovingly correct them. Lovingly correct them. Because that's how God corrects us. The Bible says in Proverbs 3:12, for whom the Lord loves, he corrects. Just as a father, the son in whom he delights. That must be our motivation. It must be love and what's best for them, it's not even punish. We can punish in harshness and not correct the behavior. It's not punish, it's correct, lovingly correct. That's how God, he loves us. If you've ever felt the Lord's loving correction, he not only loves you, he delights in you. That's what the scripture says. A son or a daughter in whom he delights in you and me. He just because we're his and he loves us. And when he sees areas of our lives that aren't like Jesus, he'll lovingly correct us. Now, sometimes I know we might say, well, he took me to the woodshed on that. What we think is harshness. What probably is more the truth is that something about me or the truth of his word hit me real strong. And it wasn't a harsh father. It was a loving father revealing me to me, or revealing his truth to me to help me, to get me back in line, or to help me grow more like Jesus. Now, the main way we correct is with our words. Please remember, main way we correct is with our words. Now, if they keep doing something, make sure they understand, but if they just are kind of just, I'm gonna be set in my ways, you might have to take a privilege away or put them in a little timeout or whatever it may be. But as a last resort, if some use the rod of correction, that's up to each. You know, you gotta be at peace and harmony with both parents about that. But if you do, I would say this, please let it be rare and restrained, all right? It's lovingly correct, okay? All right, y'all okay? Follow Jesus and be an example. Now, God may use us to be a godly influence to someone and inspire change in them. But that's not just because we correct them, but because we lead by example. And I thank God for examples like that, that inspire us, that motivate us to want to follow Jesus and live a better way. And then finally, would you turn to Mark chapter 10? This is the second book of the New Testament. Mark chapter 10. Follow Jesus and be an example. Let's see what Jesus did here. Lead, instruct, correct, and bless. Lead, instruct, correct, and bless. Lead by example. Instruct them with God's word, the wisdom and truth of God's word. Lovingly correct them, and then bless them. How do we bless? And God gives us the example. So Mark chapter 10, beginning in verse 13. And the Bible says this. Then they brought little children to him as Jesus, that he might touch them. But the disciples rebuked those who brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was greatly displeased and said to them, let the little children come to me and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of God. Assuredly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it. And then verse 16, and Jesus took them up in his arms. He laid his hands on them and blessed them. We bless with our words and godly loving touch. We bless with our words and godly loving touch. Right off the bat, Genesis, the Bible says that God created male and female, and he blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply. He blessed them with words. Jesus, in fact, they would lay hands on people. Fathers, parents laying hands on their sons and daughters, praying a blessing over them. Laying hands on them is a loving, godly touch that they associate with the blessing. And Jesus, he wasn't like somebody who couldn't have any fun, couldn't enjoy. What upset him in this account was people tried to keep kids away from him. And he said, no, you let the children come to me. Again, he had the heart of the Father in him. And he said, I'm gonna bless them. He gave them a holy, loving, godly touch that they probably remember the rest of their lives. Can you imagine that? Well, we can extend the loving touch of God to others through our touch by his Holy Spirit in us. Follow Jesus and lead by example. Would you say that with me? Follow Jesus and lead by example. When they're hurting, hug them, comfort them, encourage them, have fun with them. I really believe this. If we have fun with our sons and daughters, then we're not their buddy. I like to emphasize that to parents. They have friends. They need a mom and dad. But there are times when we can have fun with them, and let's do that because that helps keep the door of communication open and it builds good memories of a blessing and having fun with them as we grow. And let me ask you this. You tell me real quick, all right? How can we bless with our words? What are some words we could say to someone to bless them, whether they're son or daughter or not? What would you say? I'm proud of you. Yeah, tell your son and tell your daughter, I'm proud of you. Anyone else? I love you. That's right. Let them know they are loved. Any other words? What else? Was that?
Good job.
Maybe they got a C in one subject on their schoolwork, but if that was the best they could, hey, good job. Just keep trying. You can get it. Anyone else? Thank you. All right. And how about this? I'm happy for you. You're welcome. How about this one? I thank God for you. I love you. How about praying for them and praying with them? Aren't there words we can bless? It's not limited to sons or daughters, but don't we want to include them in those blessings? So pray for them, hug them, comfort them. And I know, I'll close with this. I'm done with the scriptures if you want to just listen. I know that many of us, and I've wrote it, have been through what I would call the heartbreak of a breakup. And maybe we've experienced family strife and separation and maybe harmful words and just damage, and we felt that. And you'll notice in life and throughout scripture that sometimes that sons and daughters battle the issues and problems that mom and dad faced. Sometimes we battle those tendencies that they may have had. But I want to say this, if you feel like maybe you've done something wrong, then why don't you just come before the Lord, your Father, if you know him that way, and receive his forgiveness, receive his love, and ask him to have wisdom to reach each son or daughter if you have more than one. And then if maybe there's a place to say, I was wrong in this, I'm sorry, let's not be too proud to do that. And mend those relationships, bring healing. Maybe we're an adult and maybe we feel like we're limited in life by some of what we experienced growing up. I'll say this, our God is greater. He's greater. His love is greater. His grace is greater than all of our sin and all of our past. And he's a healer and he is a way maker. He is a good father and he can heal us. He can save us. He can forgive us. He can give us wisdom and grace and strength to grow and be more effective for him. That's what I just hope to encourage us all in today. I'm sure we've all can look back and say, man, I didn't do that right. I hope I'm a good dad, but I haven't been a perfect. There was only one perfect parent. There's only one perfect father. All of us still fall short at times. But thank God he picks us up and he keeps us going in the right direction. You are loved. Thank God. Isn't that a great truth? Our God is greater. Our God is stronger. Our God is higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power. Our God. Our God. Can we stand together this morning? Let's close. Follow Jesus and be an example. Just, I want to ask you to think about this. Will you believe God's word and just receive his love for you today? Unconditional love, his grace and forgiveness, his peace. And will you pursue a close walk with him this week? Don't let it go. Start today. So, Lord, I want to get close to you. Help me what do I need to do to get closer to you? Let's renew our mind. Maybe you'll focus on 1 Timothy 4:12 this week. Lord, help me to change my thinking so I can be transformed. And then, Lord, who can I bless? Who can I inspire by an example? Lord, you've led the way for me. Help me to lead the way for others as I follow you. Holy Spirit, we ask you to just move right now. Bring healing to those who maybe have some painful memories. Lord, please comfort them and encourage them. I thank you that, Lord, our history does not have to limit our destiny. We acknowledge it. We don't want to deny it, but you can heal and you can restore. I want to just ask this. Can we just keep our heads bowed, our eyes closed just for a moment? If you say, Brother Rocky, I have some areas, maybe even in my past, that I need the Lord's continued healing and freedom in and his touch. If that's you today, I just want to pray for you. You don't need to do anything else but just slip your hand up. Is there anyone here that would just hold your hand up just for a moment? Let me just acknowledge you. Lord, bless you. Thank you. Thank you so much. Lord, bless you. Put your hands down. Father, we lift up our, not only our hands, but our hearts to you in faith, saying, Lord, heal me where I'm hurting. You are the healer of the brokenhearted. Lord, I thank you that you can mend. Lord, maybe even with some relationships that we could never be reconciled in personally, but we can be reconciled in our own heart, that there's nothing of bitterness and resentment in our hearts. But Lord, we release that today because we want to have the fullness of joy of being in your perfect will. So we thank you for that today. Thank you for new beginnings. Thank you, Lord. You said that maybe we could even have an influence, even if it's a wrong influence, may come down from parent or grandparent, but you said you keep covenant and mercy with thousands of those who love you and keep your commandments. We thank you today. We can set a new generation up. We can have new beginnings. We can have new tendencies based on our walk with you. And we thank you for that today. In Jesus' name. Can we just sing this?